The retirement and IRA show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us this morning as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
On today's show, we're going to answer a fairly lengthy email from a listener on, I think, a variety of topics. Then if we have time, believe it or not, the one email might take us most of the show. But if we have time, we're going to take a look at bad brokers in the headlines. Well, we'll discuss some things that brokers have been caught doing that may not be in your best interest. So thanks for joining us here on the Retirement and IRA Show. Here with another brand new episode. This episode will air for the first time on July 15th, 2017. Jim's here, probably not with his mic on. Do you have your, oh, you do have your microphone
on. I turned it on.
Wow. Sneaky.
Surprised you.
And pretty hot weather. We're in the dog days of summer here in beautiful Colorado. Kind of toasty.
It is hot.
Thunderstorms in the afternoon, but we're in the nice, cool, air-conditioned radio studio.
Yes.
So I'm excited that we have an email. Email questions usually have some of the most interesting stuff that we...
this is a good one. This one actually just...
Go over, but...
This one just came in, and I might be jumping a few. I can't remember to get here or not. I don't think we're all caught up. We may not be. But I was busy all day. I am leaving in a few days to fly back home to Massachusetts, and I had no time to try to dig up old emails. They're somewhere on this table, I think. And get everything together. And this one just came in a few days ago. It came in on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, perfect timing. I'll answer this, and then I'll try to catch up on all the other emails when I come back from vacation.
Perfect.
And it's not really vacation. Going home to spend a week with family is not a vacation.
Don't they still listen?
Mom does, so I'm in trouble. Yeah. Although, when does this play? This Saturday?
Yeah, if she listens live, she's going to catch you while you're there when she can do something about it.
What do you mean it's not vacation? No, I'm looking.
If it's so much trouble when you're here, why don't you just not come?
We've got some good reservations set for a couple of seafood places.
I have no idea
places.
What your mom sounds like, so I was imitating you, not her. Yeah. So if the sound of that voice was... offensive to your mother, I apologize. I was mimicking Jim, not you. I don't want to get in trouble with your mom. No. You can if you
I
want.
I can. I will. I do all the time. But I lost my train of thought.
You're heading to
Massachusetts. When I go home, right. Yeah.
Get some chowder?
All jokes aside, Ma, mm-hmm. It is a pleasure to be home. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually going, I'm leaving Thursday, and I am going to fly into Boston and go to 2 days of Ed Slott training. And this is just kind of a special thing. He does a 2-day presentation that any financial advisor can, or any person for that matter, you don't have to be a financial advisor, he'll take your money, he doesn't care. Any person can register for, and for 2 days, Ed and his cronies will really delve down into IRAs. When I first attended his two-day, probably 8-9 years ago, I thought, oh my God, this is incredible. Now we realize after all these years of training under Ed, he's really given a good cursory review. He doesn't drill deep down, but he drills much deeper than most advisors ever knew. So it's a good refresher course. We look at it as refresher courses. And I thought, well, gee, since he's going to be in Boston the weekend I'm flying home, I might as well spend the first 2 days going to his seminars. And then in the evening, Saturday evening, we get out at 5. I'll go out to dinner with my family and then head down to my mom's place. But we have reservations set for a couple of good seafood restaurants while I'm there. So
I was going to say, are there special places you always go when you go home?
There are. I'll probably dine at Legal Seafood Harborside a few times when I'm in the city.
Do you get is that the place that has the good oysters on the half shell?
Well, Legal Seafood has everything.
Everything, but is that a big thing there? Or that's probably a big thing a lot of places.
I don't eat oysters, so skip right over that. Okay. No, I don't eat anything raw, especially something raw.
You could get oysters Rockefeller, then. You could get them.
No, I like Clams Casino, which would be Little Necks on the half shell with a little bit of breadcrumbs and bacon. Hmm. But
that sounds good, too.
Yeah, I like Clams Casino. But anyways, I will be home, and then I'll stay after Ed Slott's thing. I'll stay for another 4 or 5 days, and then I'm back in the office Friday the 21st, I think it is. But that'll be my little thing.
So it's next week that Justin and I will be doing a show.
Justin and you will be recording a show, so hopefully you guys will come up with a great topic, or topics, plural. I'll try to find things for you guys to talk about.
I'll have to schedule it with Justin, too, because I'll be camping on our normal recording day, but I'll work it out with Justin.
Okay. So, figure out something to record that show with Justin, and then we'll be back to our normal schedule. But this is the Retirement and IRA Show. I want to thank everybody for listening. We got, like I said, I can't say it's a short email. It's about a medium-sized email. But he asked three separate questions, and each separate question is a multitude of individual questions. He made them in three paragraphs. He has one topic, he said, another topic, and another topic. And within those topics, he asked multiple questions. So I thought to myself, you being someone who cannot be pithy like I can, will probably take a very long time to answer this email.
Possibly. But the one question I have, though, is from where does this
emailer reside? Bad news. I'm sorry to say he's from a state we already have.
Oh, okay. You're going to tell me?
I'm pretty sure it was Texas, but let me look.
Okay. We do have a star, although Texas is so large, it might justify two stars.
He's from Texas. Put as many. Well, right now we have a lone star on the state of Texas. Get it?
That seems apropos as well. Yes. But okay. So we've covered Texas. We're still looking for, we haven't made this plea in a long time, so maybe we have new listeners. In order to fill out the stars on our map, where we place a star on the map from every state where we get a question, we're trying to fill out the Eastern Seaboard, and right now we're missing just a few. We are missing Maine, we are missing New Hampshire, and Delaware. Once we get those three, the entire Eastern Seaboard from tip to tail, if you will, from all the way from Maine all the way to Florida, will be covered, and actually will be covered all the way out to the Mississippi River, other than the state of Mississippi.
I don't see anything on Jersey and Delaware.
I said Delaware we need, but Jersey we have.
We do?
I thought we... Yeah, right here.
Oh, that's there it Jersey. Is. Yep, that's Jersey.
The blue is New York, but there's nothing on Delaware. We've got Maryland covered. So we have...
Okay.
Actually, here's a better description. We will have everything east of the Mississippi covered with only three more states. Four more states. Maine, New Hampshire, Delaware, Mississippi. Those four. If we can get those four, talk about an accomplishment.
Mississippi is going to be a tough one.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Is it kind of like, what was it, Kentucky? Or there was one of these states that took a long time, and we started to wonder if they actually had internet.
West Virginia.
Was it West Virginia? We weren't sure there was internet or radio there.
Well, why don't you stick,
finally somebody came through.
Stick
for
to
us.
The Northeast. Get those three.
Okay.
For those iTunians who don't know, and we probably have just as many iTunian listeners as we do Northern Colorado listeners. Our Northern Colorado listeners, they're wondering what the hell are these guys talking about. Just as our iTunian listeners probably are. But this show plays all over. It plays live every Saturday morning in Northern Colorado, but it plays off of iTunes at any time. And we have a feisty group of iTunians. We like them. They're do-it-yourselfers. They listen to us specifically for the advice, and they send us good email questions.
And sometimes they send us emails with ridicule or complaints.
Oh, and speaking of ridicule and complaints, or in this case, ridicule. No, mom didn't call. Lone Star George, which is another Texas person. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot to read his. We have that $100 bet. I got to read that email. And I haven't.
Maybe when you go home, you can practice in front of your mom.
He's going to think I've been practicing and that I'm going to ace this. I haven't done anything. I had to find his email again. But Lone Star, if you still listen, hopefully you do, I didn't forget your bet. It was my bet, your dear. I accepted your dear. I'm going to read this email. You don't think I can do it without muffing up a few of the words. Mm-hmm. I guess I need to find his email again and then practice. And maybe when I come back from vacation, we will do that show. We will have that show finally. And if I get it, if I can ace it and not mess up one of his words, he is going to donate $100 to the Larimer County, Colorado Humane Society. Mm-hmm. And if I muff up a word, my firm will donate $100.
Whoa.
What?
This was a personal bet. Your firm's not going to cover it. You said you personally would donate.
Oh, yeah, I'll donate to my firm.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it's still $100 for me. All right,
it's not 100 from you. They get 100. It only costs you the after-tax version of 100.
You got a problem with deducting it?
No, I have no problem, but that wasn't the original bet.
What's it matter if it comes
from...
What if
Lone Star George... It's not an uneven bet now. Lone Star George can't write it off.
How do you know?
Necessarily. Maybe he can as a charitable donation.
It's a charitable donation.
Individual.
If he doesn't itemize. If he itemizes,
what if he doesn't itemize?
Then he's SOL.
That seems unfair.
Well, I itemize. So I don't care if the check comes from my personal bank account or the business bank account. If I cannot read his email without muffing up a word, then I lose. But Lone Star, I did not forget your dare.
No, he did forget it.
Yes, I did. That's
he
the
just
problem.
Suddenly remembered.
I kind of did forget the dare. So we'll bring that back after I get back from vacation.
Okay. Well, I'm going to hold you to it.
You do that. Okay, and then for our regular iTunians, please keep sending us emails. We like it. It gives us something good on the show to talk about. We are still, Chris and I talked about trying to make this show live on Facebook and allow iTunians to actually call in and have their questions answered live instead of having to send us email.
Or they could type it in.
We have not forgotten that. We still hope to have that up and running now that he's back from, he being Chris, is back from Vietnam. Maybe we can get this thing going. So was that you or me?
That was you.
Oh. How do I mute that?
The little switch on the side.
I think it was, okay, never mind. There we go. That's what happens with live recorded TV and someone sends you a text. Okay.
Even radio.
Even on radio. So let's get to this email. It is from a gentleman in Texas. He begins, "Hi, Jim." Very good way to begin an email.
That's it?
Yeah, there's no "Hi, Chris." Just totally blew you off.
Apparently.
Okay. "Hi, Jim. You have a very good podcast."
What?
"Hi, Jim."
Again, with the "you," like it's your deal. Who do you think puts this on?
Well, you sit in the producer's chair.
There would be no podcast if I didn't podify it over here with all this computer and stuff.
No, that's true. But
you'd have to come meet with Jim and talk to him the old-fashioned way.
"You" is plural.
I think it's "you all" when you're in Texas. Y'all. He should have at least said "y'all." When he said "you," that's pretty much cutting me out. But go ahead.
I
won't interrupt anymore. I'll just sit here and fume.
"Hi, Jim. You have a pretty good podcast. In fact, Chris could leave the podcast."
Stop.
And no
it doesn't
one...
say that.
How do you know? Because it says no one would notice. You know what it is? He's a new listener. You've been in Texas. I mean, not Texas.
Hanoi, almost
Vietnam.
Like Texas,
yeah,
right?
It's the same thing. The weather's the same. Yeah. You've been in Vietnam for a month. He probably doesn't even know you exist. He's a brand new listener.
Oh. Okay.
So it says, "Hi, Jim. You have a very good podcast. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to catch up on all the shows, and I have a lot more to go." So see, he hasn't gotten to your old
Maybe.
Shows.
Yeah.
He doesn't know you exist. Okay. He says, "I will be 60 years next May.
Okay.
I am a single blue-collar worker, no children, and planning on working till 70. I live in Texas. My work income is a steady $6,000 a year, more or less."
$60,000.
Okay. Excuse me. $60,000 a year, more or less. "I currently have the following savings: $650,000 in my current employer's 401k. $20,000 of that is in their Roth option." So for listeners who don't know what he's talking about, he has the majority of his money, $650,000, in a traditional 401k. But of that $650,000, $20,000 of it is actually in the Roth 401k option. A Roth 401k option works just like a Roth IRA with a few minor tweaks and minor differences. But he puts after-tax money in and will take tax-free money out in retirement. He goes on to say, "I have an additional $325,000 in a Roth IRA, $300,000 in cash in a brokerage account, $40,000 in a health savings account, and I'm expecting $24,000 a year." What's so funny?
Well, because all I can do is sit here and think, on $60,000 a year, if you don't have a wife and kids,
this is what
that's
you
what
do.
You can amass.
I thought the same thing.
You know, at the first one, when he said $650,000, I'm thinking, oh, 10 times his earnings, that's pretty good. And then you kept piling on more, and I'm thinking, oh, gee, that's where that extra can go when it's not buying diapers and school books and clothes and Happy Meals and jewelry and... Not that it's not worth it. Let me just say
I'm sure it's worth it.
Not that it's not worth
it. I was very impressed with, with this gentleman's initial, the beginning part of his email, because for a modest blue-collar worker, he has done a tremendous job. He has set himself up well. Remember, listeners, what I always say, retirement planning is a trade-off between the younger you and the older you. I always say that. I give the analogy of a seesaw. When we were growing up, we didn't have iPhones and iPads and iPods, pods, whatever they are.
We don't have any of that i stuff. iPhones.
Yeah, we didn't have
iPods, iFrogs.
iPhone is what I kind of muffed a phone and a pod and a pad. But we didn't have all those i things, as Chris said. And we didn't have video games and all that. We went out to, my parents used to say, get out to the playground. They wanted us just get out. Go to the playground. Go get out of the house.
Because you're in their hair.
So remember at the playground with seesaws.
Mm-hmm.
Retirement.
Swings. But, and that thing where you spin people around and try to make them sick.
Sick, right. Mm-hmm. But let's just stick with the seesaw analogy. Mm-hmm. What I keep getting people to understand is retirement planning is a seesaw. You're on one end. The older you is on the other end. And you're going up and down. But the idea is to get that seesaw to balance. That's what we always did on the seesaw. We would try to get it to balance perfect. Then you don't move, and that seesaw just stands there if you're both perfectly balanced, and you see what group can get the seesaw to balance the longest. And, of course, there was no phone or Instagram back then, so you couldn't take photos and videos of it. But
you had to wait 50 years later to describe it on radio.
Exactly. You just have to believe everyone if they said, we balance for a good minute. It was probably more like 10 seconds, but a little bit of exaggeration, and it's a minute they balance for. Picture that analogy, folks, that retirement planning is the younger you or the current you on one end and the older retired you on the other end. And it's a balancing act, Chris. Things that might benefit the older you and cause them to go up might cause you to go down. Things that might benefit you now, spending more and things like that, might cause the older you to go down because it gives possibly less to them. Same thing with a Roth IRA. Roth IRA is the younger you you pays the taxes today so the older you doesn't have to pay the taxes or have the RMDs or subject their Social Security to taxes. So things that you do today might hurt you today but help you tomorrow. Retirement planning is that balance. He has done a very good balancing job. He has really helped the older him immensely. And I have no idea if he sacrificed greatly to amass what he's amassed. But when I read the beginning part of his email, I thought to myself, here is a man in a good position. In fact, I start thinking of other things. With this much in assets, no children, I want to make sure he has long-term care to take care of him. I want to make sure he has a good estate plan in place. If he can't manage his assets, who's going to do that for him? Who's going to take care of him as he begins to age? And then who's he going to leave the assets to? Does he want to leave it to humans or charities? And is he going to put a good beneficiary designations in place to handle that? What does he want to do if he were to pass away? These are side thoughts that I had. But he goes on and he says, I have no house or car expenses. So his house is paid for, his car is paid for. Here are my questions. And he goes on with three questions. The first one is, I would like some downside market protection. So I'm thinking of transferring $500,000 out of my 401k to an IRA and purchase a $500,000 cash up front, 10-year lump sum, single premium immediate annuity. He's got a lot wrong with that sentence, as you probably know, and I need to get back to it. So for listeners who know that what I just read doesn't quite work that way, I get it. I'll get back to it in a minute, but I want to continue with his email. He says, what is the best interest rate I may expect this annuity to pay in 10 years? Also, I may retire into another country. Would that be a problem? And finally, how much will this annuity reduce my required minimum distributions? So that was his first question. Remember, I said he had three paragraphs, all with multiple questions. The second one, the $20,000 I have in my Roth 401k, I would like to transfer to my existing Roth IRA. My question is, will RMDs be eliminated by doing so? And how would this transfer affect my Roth IRA? Then his last question says, when I retire, I would like to buy a house or a condo for approximately $300,000 cash. And remember, he has $300,000 in cash already. I would then like to take out, and here he names a certain mortgage that we have mentioned before on this show. Longtime listeners will know. Our compliance department. I do outsource my compliance services to a company called Cambridge. Cambridge does not like us talking about the mortgages that this gentleman is alluding to. So we cannot name them what he wrote. We call them the mortgages available to people only over the age of 62. Is that fair enough?
Yes.
Okay. So remember, listeners, we are licensed and not licensed. There is no licensing. We are registered investment advisors and financial planners. I'm a certified financial planner and so is Chris. So we have to operate under certain rules. The SEC and the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority and the state of Colorado, the three entities that regulate us, have no problems with these mortgages and have no problems with us actually saying their name. The issue is our compliance department. They, for some reason, have taken the stance they would rather anyone who uses them for their compliance services don't even talk about these mortgages.
Well, a little bit in their defense, if I will, because it sounds really bizarro and people got to be thinking, why would they say this? In the past, there's been certain people in the financial services industry that have encouraged people to get money from these special mortgages in order to
take out
invest
equity from their home.
Right. And that is something that is not allowed to encourage. It's not something that you're supposed to do because of the risk involved, that people didn't really understand what they were doing and they're putting in jeopardy the ownership, the ultimate ownership of their personal residence. So Cambridge, and I'm reading their mind, I guess. I'm guessing they said, okay, let's just not talk about those at all because we don't want anybody to be heading down that path and we don't want to ever be accused of doing that.
But he has several questions about them. I know I can't mention the name of the mortgages, but he asks, do you know of someone I can talk to? And I do, and I will get to that form as well.
Perfect. So when we come back from this break, we will start to tackle these questions that were laid out in the email. When we come back, we're going to hear one of the top songs from 1935 as we look back to the year that Social Security was started. Social Security talked about a lot on the show, so it kind of ties in pretty well. This blues song is considered to be one of the most played, arranged, and rearranged pieces of music in blues history. So we'll find out what that is when we come back from this short break.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Now, baby, please don't go. Now, baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go back to your auntie and get your car.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. This is one of the top songs back in 1935, although this song was played and rearranged and recorded over many decades, actually. But this is Baby Please Don't Go, in this case performed by Joseph Lee Williams, better known throughout his career as Big Joe Williams. So
I'm going to guess he was a little on the portly side?
Big Joe would imply such a thing, although I've seen some guys that they have the opposite. A guy could be stick thin. But they call him Big Joe just to, as a joke, right? So I don't know. Let me see if I can find a picture of him. There's a...
Okay. Well, that is a song, folks, from 1935.
Medium-large size.
Oh. They have a picture of him on the internet?
Yeah.
All right. Medium-large?
Yeah. Medium-large. I'd call it medium-large.
By modern-day standards, he's probably average.
By modern-day standards, he's... medium-large by modern-day standards. Back then, he might have been huge. So this is a while ago. In Vietnam, he would be huge.
Yes, I can imagine.
Very thin people over there.
Yeah.
Eat a lot of, don't eat a lot of sweets, not a lot of processed foods. And it shows, and they walk a lot, sweat. They hide it somehow, but they have to, just the humidity and the heat. But yeah, I was very envious. You look around, it's, they're very, small.
Okay.
The size we should all probably be. Although the height is a difference. They're very short as well, for the most part.
Petite, I think, is the name. Isn't that when you're short and thin is petite, or just short is petite? I don't know.
Petite, usually we refer to that just for women.
Oh.
Even the men there are pretty short, but they're not fat. They're not a lot of fat on their bodies in a healthy way. It's good.
Okay. That's good.
Good.
Alrighty, so we left off, folks, in the previous segment, almost finished an email from a gentleman in Texas.
Well, we finished reading it. We didn't answer any of it yet.
Again, the last part of his question was about a special mortgage only available to those over the age of 62. We're not supposed to say the name of them by our compliance department. It is not an industry or a regulatory rule. It is a compliance rule with our compliance department. And I keep telling them to change that, and I'm hoping someday they do. But until then, you know, as the saying goes, this just isn't a hill worth dying on. It's not worth me fighting them on this and you know what, and moaning, bitching and moaning, and getting them to change their rule. I figure I'll take a fight to them for something else. But if they don't eventually change this and their same rule on equity indexed annuities, then I told them change someday. Because I want to be able to talk about these products in greater detail. Because this gentleman made a few mistakes in some of the things he asked. We'll get to them. Mm-hmm. But even though I won't say the name of these mortgages, I will talk openly about Wade Fowle, a professor of financial planning at the American College for Financial Planning, who is also a PhD and a CFA and just a brilliant mind.
Well-respected researcher in the field of financial planning.
Absolutely. He has really came out with a lot of studies and got myself and many competent advisors to change their chain of thought on these mortgages, to almost reverse the way we used to think about them. And now view them as quite a positive. Ever since the government took them over in 2010 after the 08 market crash, cleaned up how they worked, reduced their costs dramatically, and when used in a complete retirement plan and not just jumping into it willy-nilly, he has shown through many, many studies that they can be a viable option, not for everyone, but for certain people, and when they fit, he feels they are a viable option.
Well, in the entire field of financial planning, we have this issue. It's like having there's lots of tools out there, just like there's a lot of tools in the toolbox, a lot of tools at Home Depot, but not every tool is right for for every job. So it really depends on what you need the tool to accomplish. That will determine whether that tool is appropriate, and that's perfectly the situation that's going on here. We've got these special kind of mortgages. We've got special kinds of annuities. We've got, you know, I could list on and on and on different types of investment options that when misapplied, when used inappropriately, when it's a screw and you're using the hammer, that's not going to work so well. That would be inappropriate. And the same thing happens in financial planning where people get into trouble, at least on the services side, when we're talking about financial planners and advisors. One day they decide they hate hammers. And then one day they have a nail walk into their office. But they still have stuck in their mind they hate hammers. I'm never going to use a hammer. Those are the worst tool ever created. And this nail is begging for a hammer to be used. And I think people need to have an open enough mind to not think a hammer is good for every job, but at least realize that sometimes a nail needs a hammer. And the hammer is the appropriate tool, and the same thing happens
absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. We talk about that openly on the show, how that there's a difference between a financial planner and an investment advisor, and that a lot of investment advisors, Ken Fisher, classic example. We throw Ken out on this all the time. And again, we say there's no hot feelings. I would trade places with Ken Fisher in a heartbeat. Mm-hmm. The guy is uber successful. But I disagree with him vehemently on how he acquired that success. He is an investment advisor, not a financial planner, an investment advisor. And his little niche is, I hate annuities and so should you. And he says, I will never use an annuity. And I just saw his newest commercial on TV, and he says that right in there. I will never sell an annuity. And you can't be so one-sided on that Wall Street is not the answer for everything. Conversely, there are insurance agents who also hold themselves out to be financial planner. I mean, because it's so convoluted and cloudy that you can't tell when someone is just an investment advisor. They all say, oh, I'm a financial planner, because you can say that term. I'm a financial planner. There's no rules against that. You're financial. You know, hey, I'm a financial planner. Some Joe Schmo from one of these transients living in the streets of Fort Collins can say, yeah, I'm a financial planner. I can give you advice on your finances. What do you want to know? And there's no rule against that. Now, if he starts collecting money and doing things like that, the rules get a little bit stricter. But as we talked many times, they're not. But you need to know if your advisor is an investment advisor who is going to just love investments, Chris. Are they an insurance agent calling themselves a financial planner and their answer is an annuity for everything? Or are they a true planner? These mortgages are the same thing. And as you said, some true financial planners or maybe investment advisors
or insurance salesmen
don't like these. And that's it. No matter what your needs are, I just hate these. Because for some reason or another, they were taught they were no good and they're going to say they're terrible. Conversely, there's others who might put too much faith in them. So what Wade Fowle was just trying to do was say, hey, look, now that the government cleaned up this mortgage market Let's take a look at them. Because they truly are one of the only ways people can access liquidity from their homes.
Without moving out.
Without having to move. So in this particular emailer's situation, I'm not quite sure he needs one. That's the first thing I want to point out to him when I get to that part of his question. But I also want to explain why we can't name them. So we just call them the mortgages only available to those over the age of 62. Mm-hmm. But we do talk openly about Wade Fow, whose writings and studies has totally reversed my thinking on these mortgages. Okay. So then he ends his email to us with, thanks in advance for any response you may provide. However, I would appreciate it if you don't use my name in any media you may put out. Obviously, he's new, and he doesn't know that we protect your I was trying to practice that word because that's one of the words I have to say for Lone
Star
Joe. That's
why I'm pretty sure you won't be able to read that paragraph.
Anonymity.
Nope.
Anonymity.
Nope.
Anonymity.
Nope.
Am I even close?
It has most of the right letters in it, just kind of out of order.
Anonymity?
No.
How do you say it?
Well, let's listen to a fish.
No.
All new explorers must answer a science question.
Okay.
You live in what kind of home?
Okay,
don't hurt yourself. Welcome aboard, explorer!
All right, How do you say I got way too many N's in there.
Mm-hmm. Anonymity.
Anonymity. Anonymity.
No.
Oh, God, I'm going to muff up. I might as well just write the check for $100 now. Ain't no way.
Well, just think about the hours you're going to have to devote to practice. Is probably more financially wise to just write the check for $100.
Anyways, what I want this listener to know is we protect that word.
Your identity.
Your privacy.
Your privacy.
That's much better. Mm-hmm. And we call everyone George.
Just what I always wanted, my own little bunny rabbit. I will name him George, and I will hug him and pet him and squeeze him.
I'm not a bunny rabbit.
So, yeah, I'm screwed.
Yeah. Anonymity.
Whatever. So what is the fish trying to say?
Anemone, which is that thing that clownfish live in with the little tentacle-looking things.
Oh.
That's his house. That's where those clownfish live. They hide in there for protection. They have a special stuff on their skin that protects them from the.
But that's an animal,
stinging.
Isn't it?
It's a form of an. Yeah, it's an animal.
It's an animal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a symbiotic relationship.
It is, and you can say that fancy word.
Because there's
no
M's and N's in it.
Correct. Yeah.
Symbiotic, that's easy. Put an N and an M in there, forget it. I'm screwed. Like if M&M's were called N&M's.
That'd be tough. You could never have them. You could never enjoy them in your whole life.
I wouldn't be able to ask for them.
I want those special candy-coated chocolates. The ones, you know, that don't melt in your hand, but they melt in your mouth. Something like that.
Okay. So let's jump to the first part of his question. The first part of George, because we'll call him George, even though he gave his real name. George, you wrote, I would like some market downside protection, so I'm thinking of transferring $500,000 out of my 401k to an IRA. First thing I need to point out to him is he may not be able to transfer that money. Remember, he said he wants to work another 10 years to age 70. He's only 60. In order for you to transfer from a 401k, George, to an IRA, you have to have a triggering event. Mm-hmm. For most employers, they have one triggering event, separation from service. So you may not be able to move this 401k until age 70. However, some employers do offer what is called in-service distributions, but they still key Chris off of triggering events in order to move the majority of his money. There are some employers that will allow you to remove money that you transferred in and other monies at any time to truly move what would essentially be nearly 80% of his account. He needs an employer that will allow unfettered in-service distribution access. And most employers will say that will begin at age 62, separation of service, death, or disability. Those are usually the four big triggering events. So he really needs to get a hold of his HR department and find out from HR if they allow in-service distributions. Mm-hmm. And do they offer unfettered ones now, or does he have to be at a certain age? Mm-hmm. So he may not be able to do what he wants to do until 70. But I don't...
Or he quits his job.
Or he quits his job, which I don't advocate he do. However, if they offer in-service distributions, George, don't be surprised if you just have to wait a couple more years, age 62. And then at that age, they may allow you to transfer your account. And they would transfer it. It's actually called a rollover. It would be called a direct rollover. Whenever, listeners pay attention, whenever you move money from a 401k, it is a rollover.
Unless you're taking a distribution.
Then it's an indirect rollover because you still have 60 days to actually put that money back in. So it's technically a rollover. If you took a distribution, as Chris says, you know, just, hey, send me my money, you still have 60 days to put
you
that money.
You could turn it into a rollover.
Correct. So an indirect rollover is what Chris is talking about, which is essentially a distribution. A direct rollover is what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. So it's not a transfer. It's called a rollover. And this would be a direct rollover when it moves from the 401k directly to an IRA. An indirect rollover is it goes from the 401k to you, and then from you to either another IRA, or you take it as a distribution and you don't do anything with it. You just spend it.
And you don't want to do that typically.
No,
because
no,
of reasons we've talked about before.
Yes. So do not do it as an indirect rollover, listener. Do it as your direct rollover that you're talking about. But that was the first thing I wanted to point out for him. He may not be able to do his strategy right away. He also said...
And by the way, just in case someone's wondering, there's no... Moving it isn't going to provide him with protection from downside risk. There's nothing inherently different between these investments being held inside of a 401k and then being held inside of the wrapper of an IRA. So that first step actually isn't going to accomplish in any way what his goal is to protect from downside risk. What he's looking for is probably a choice that doesn't exist in his 401k. He doesn't say it outright, but that's kind of what you have to, what's
well,
being
implied.
Well,
he does. You're reading my mind because that was the next thing I was going to say to him. He said in his email he wants to do this for downside protection. So he wants to move the money from his 401k to an IRA. Whether or not he can, he's got to find out from HR if they offer in-service distributions. If they do, my gut is telling me they're going to tell him to move that much money, you have to be 62 or older. That's what my gut is saying. Yeah. But some companies are different. They have very liberal rules. Mm-hmm. Others have very restrictive rules.
Right.
So this comes down to the 401k. Okay, that said, let's just assume he can move it. Let's just assume his company has very liberal rules. He doesn't have to wait to 62. They offer unfettered access. And they're saying, sure, if you want to move this, you can. He said, Chris, he wants to move it to an IRA and buy a single premium immediate annuity. I think he's on the right track. I think an annuity will give him some of the protection he wants. He's just got the totally wrong annuity.
Right.
So let's look at this a little bit. He wrote specifically this, Chris, and buy a $500,000 cash up front, 10-year lump sum, single premium annuity to pay in 10 years. So he's confusing a few things here. First thing, listener, you don't want a single premium annuity in this case.
Nor what he's describing is one.
No. What he's describing is a deferred income annuity. So what you're describing, listener, is called a DIA, Deferred Income Annuity, D-I-A, whereas you wrote SPIA, Single Premium Immediate Annuity, S-P-I-A. He is right when he wrote lump sum cash up front. Mm-hmm. That is true. When you buy a single premium immediate annuity, you put a lump sum cash up front into the annuity. Hence the name, SP,
right.
Single Premium. It only allows you to put money in once in a lump sum. So he got that part right. But he said he wants to buy it now, but begin taking money in 10 years when he's 70 and retired.
Mm-hmm.
Single Premium Immediate Annuity has to begin paying you within 13 months.
Yeah.
Most begin 1 month, but you're allowed to delay them legally for 13 months.
Maximum.
Maximum.
That's it. It has to start now.
So it's the inappropriate annuity for what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He also said he wants downside market protection. This annuity technically will give you that in the sense when you buy a single premium immediate annuity, you no longer have access to that money. That money is no longer in the market. And instead, the insurance company is on the hook to pay you money for the rest of your life. And if you live long enough and got all your money back and you're still alive, the insurance company has to keep paying you no matter how long you live.
Or it could be for a specific period of time.
Correct.
Doesn't have to be for the rest of your life, but that's typically what people are buying.
You would most likely buy them, correct.
But you might buy a period certain or something like that. But still, any of those varieties, when it's in the SPIA category, is income that's going to start immediately.
Correct. So inappropriate, totally inappropriate in this situation, listener, because if you purchased this, you would begin receiving money within 13 months, and it would be taxable to you because it's coming out of your 401k. And he did say he wanted the payments in 10 years, so obviously a SPIA wouldn't work. It's going to pay him right away. But if you want money in 10 years, you buy a SPIA in 10 years. You don't buy the single premium immediate annuity now. You buy it in 10 years. So what he's really saying he wants to purchase is known as a deferred income annuity, DIA. That's kind of a SPIA in reverse. You put the money in now. And you can put multiple deposits in. It's not one. Notice it's not single premium deferred income annuity. Those do exist. But you can buy a deferred income annuity that will allow you to put money in every single month if you want it. But a deferred income annuity doesn't pay you, listener, till the future. So you would perhaps, and I'm not convinced this is what he should do.
No.
I personally don't think he should be doing this. But what he would need to do if he was adamant he wanted this, he wants to buy a deferred income annuity. He wants to put that money in. And then he would tell them, I want the deferred income annuity to begin paying me in 10 years. I'm against that for a couple of reasons. First of all, I'm not certain how much guaranteed income he needs because this annuity pays guaranteed income. I don't know what he's going to need. He tells us he's going to be entitled to $24,000 a year in Social Security. Does he need more than that? I don't know. I don't know what his retirement looks like. Should he buy one of these annuities or not? That needs to be determined with an analysis. He really needs to look at this closely and determine, will I need more income at age 70? That's the first reason I'm a little against this. The second reason is it's an irrevocable decision. You cannot change your mind on this. So you must be adamant, totally sure, I need more income at 70 and I want more income at 70. That too is going to require an analysis to be done. And the third thing, and I'm sure you're chomping on the bit on this, he's looking to open it in a 401k. Well, he wants to move it to an IRA.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to open a deferred income annuity in an IRA. There's a huge problem with this, listener, and that is required minimum distributions. If he did, Chris, you can buy a DIA inside an IRA. You can buy a deferred income annuity inside an IRA, but that annuity can only defer its income up to age 70 and a half. After age 70 and a half, it has to turn on. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. And he asks, how much would this annuity reduce my RMDs? It wouldn't.
Right.
A deferred income annuity would not reduce your RMDs because you must begin taking money from them at 70 and a half. If he wants to defer or reduce RMDs, he needs to look at a different type of annuity called a QLAC. Chris's favorite annuities, because we talked about them on three shows, which he won't let me forget. Listen, when I come back, I'm going to tell you how to find those shows and listen to them. But I'm going to add a little bit more of my opinion on what this guy's looking to do. And I don't think an income annuity, whether it's immediate or deferred, is really appropriate for him.
Okay, so when we come back from this short break, we're going to hear the number one hit back in 1977. It was originally written in 1963 for an all-girl group called The Crystals, but it was rewritten in 1977 for this teen heartthrob that was a member of the Partridge Family. So we will hear that song. I don't remember this one, to be honest with you, when I heard it. But we'll hear that song when we come back from this short break on the Retirement and IRA Show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA Show. According to my memory, that was not the number one song from 1977 this week, but
I remember
our
that
research,
song.
You remember that?
I remember
being
that song.
Number one, that's so popular that it'd be number one?
Number one, that I don't know, but anyway. I do remember the do run, 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 the do run, run.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what the research shows.
Well,
us.
I know David Crosby, Cosby.
Sean Cassidy?
Close enough. whatever his name is. Yeah. I know he was a big teen heartthrob.
He was. He was.
Yeah. But their big hit was I Think I Love You.
Yes.
That was
that I recognize. That, I have no doubt, was,
that know, was number one,
top of
I
the
think.
Charts. Yeah. But I don't recall this one being, maybe I was on vacation that week.
Well, for all our new listeners, this gentleman from Florida as well, I mean Texas as well, George from Texas, we're calling him. There is a rhyme and a reason to why we lead in with these songs, and we will tell you in the next segment.
We will?
We will.
Okay.
Okay. What I want to do is jump back into this email question we had been at, because you and I talked during the break. We're a little confused, honestly, at what he was trying to do. I didn't reach out to him for clarity. This is part of the reason, Chris, I would really like us to set up this whole Facebook Live and have people call us. Because I'd like to interview this guy, and I can get a lot more clarity. Mm-hmm. He begins by saying he wants principal protection, mm-hmm. but he's buying, in my opinion, the total wrong annuity. Then he was looking for an income. He's describing an income annuity, not a principal protected annuity, which is what I want to get into. And then he was talking about buying the totally inappropriate income annuity, an immediate income annuity, single premium immediate annuity, but he's talking about turning it on in 10 years. And you can't turn on a single premium immediate annuity in 10 years. You have to turn it on in no less than 13 months. So we were saying he's probably thinking more of a DIA, a deferred income annuity. But the problem is if he bought a traditional deferred income annuity inside an IRA, he has to turn it on and begin taking money out at 70 and a half when required minimum distributions begin. And, but at the same token, he's saying, how much will I be able to reduce my required minimum distributions by? You won't, not with a deferred income annuity. So he's got the right idea. He just doesn't
have
the
right
clarity.
Some of the right goals. Well, there is this overhanging question of whether he really needs the income or not,
and
how
that's
much he needs.
The first thing.
Maybe there's a few questions he needs to ask of himself,
exactly,
and his situation before deciding on a product or investment that he's
right.
interested in.
He's jumped into the product.
Yeah. He's shopping at Home Depot in the tools section before he's figured
out
what his
project
again, is.
And again, I'm not belittling our iTunians. You guys and gals are great. We love our iTunians. And we know it. You do it yourself first. But he needs a little bit of help. He needs some direction. He has just enough knowledge to make himself dangerous. And he's thinking, well, I want to get this and I want to get that to protect this. But he doesn't quite understand the tools perfectly. It would be like sending me into Home Depot to go buy the tools to replace the plumbing under my sink. I'm clueless on that. And I wouldn't know what to. I would be walking in there saying, yeah, I need this widget-ma-gidget. And it's probably the totally wrong tool to do plumbing. I mean, I'm clueless on it. You put me in the house with a tool, I can cause problems. So I'm trying to clear the air here a little for him, that there's too many contradictions in what he's saying. If he wanted principal protection, get out of the realms of SPIAs, DIAs, and QLACs and buy a principal protected annuity. They exist. You and I have talked about it.
And there's other things that will protect your principal,
absolutely,
but that's one of them.
That's one of them.
He kind of opened the door to annuities.
Right, because
so
he's talking about annuities.
But people who are listening, they might be saying, hey, well, consider this, that, or the other thing. Yes, there are other ways to protect principal.
But he's talking about an annuity.
Correct. So we're talking about that specifically.
So with the annuity you're looking for, listener, George, is we call them principal protected annuities. But there's the only kind of principal protected annuity is a fixed annuity. Stay away from variable annuities. They are not principal protected. If someone's trying to sell you a variable annuity and you told them you want principal protection, get the hell out of there. He doesn't or she doesn't know what they're talking about. So a fixed annuity will provide principal protection. Mm-hmm. There's different types. There's a traditional fixed where they'll tell you exactly what your interest rates are for a certain period of time. Those are called MIGAs, multi-year guaranteed annuities. There's other types of fixed annuities that will guarantee the interest for the first year, and then you're at whatever interest rates are in year two, three, or four. Then there's what we call indexed fixed annuities, whose interest rate is going to be dependent on the performance of an index. But all of these will protect your principal 100%. And they're not annuitized. It's not an irrevocable decision. When you buy a SPIA or a DIA or a QLAC, those are income annuities, not principal protected annuities, income annuities. And those are irrevocable. You cannot change your mind on it. And I'm not certain he didn't lead his email, Chris, saying, I've done an in-depth analysis. I've projected my needs from retirement at age 70 through my expected mortality at age whatever he chooses. We generally use 93 in the office. And I have determined I need this much. He never said any of that. So without a plan, I often tell people, listeners, how can I tell you what to do with your money until I know what your money has to do for you? And I think he skipped that important part, Chris. He jumped right into the solution. I need a SPIA, and I want it to pay me in 10 years. Then you don't need a SPIA. And why do you want a SPIA? Why are you certain you want to put nearly 80% of your 401k into this? Did you do an analysis? That's where we shine. I'm going to take a break briefly and talk about us for a minute. We specialize in retirement planning. We're not unique. There are some other advisors who do the same thing. I'm not saying we're unique, but we're certainly, Chris, not common. Most advisors are nothing more than investment advisors looking to manage your money or insurance agents looking to sell you an annuity. If this guy walked into an insurance agent office, Chris, and said, yeah, I'd like to put $500,000 in an annuity to protect my principal. Oh, my God, it would be like Christmas to that insurance agent because they just sell annuities. Investment advisors just sell investments. Most of our iTunians, Chris, they're do-it-yourselfers. They're quite astute at managing their money. And I would say most of our iTunians have their assets at Vanguard. You would be surprised at how many people reach out to us, Chris, and say, I manage my own money, Jim, at Vanguard, but we want your advice on how to tie all this together. That's what this guy needs. He needs a plan. He needs someone, whether it's us or someone near him, who is going to give him objective advice, not sell him an annuity, not sell him an investment, just charge him for their time and put a plan in place. I think he needs a plan first. And then we can determine, does he need an income annuity? Does he need a principal protected annuity? Does he need neither? Should he consider something else? Can he even move his money because of everything we said about the 401k? So I think he's putting the horse before the cart here, and he's
cart
not
before the horse.
The what?
The horse goes.
That's what I said. The cart before the horse.
No, you said it the other way. Putting the horse before the cart.
I didn't say that, did I?
Yeah.
I did?
You did.
Cart before the horse.
That's what you should have said.
No, that's what I did say.
No, you said horse before the cart.
Oh, man, I was on a roll. See, when I'm on a roll, I'm not thinking. I'm just rolling. So long-time listeners know, oh, that's Jim. They knew what I was saying. You didn't have to correct me.
I felt compelled.
For new listeners, I will muff up words and sayings on a fairly regular basis. Get used to it. The other advice is pretty damn competent. The grammar that is being used to describe said advice is questionable at times. And the pronunciation of certain words and euphemisms are questionable. But what I'm trying to get on that part, because we beat that horse. No, the horse is dead and we're beating it. We just kept talking too much on this. Question one, he needs a plan first.
Yes.
Needs a plan. He knows just enough about annuities to get himself in trouble. Slow down. Put a plan in place, listener. You can work with us. We work with people throughout the United States. That's what's great about the internet today. We work with people everywhere. You can work with us or find an advisor in Texas who does just retirement planning, is not going to try to sell you an investment, who's going to say, yeah, you can manage your own money. Don't worry about it. You can do this your own. Don't worry about it. You're going to just be able to hire them, and they're going to do one task. Put a retirement plan in place for you. Who implements that plan is totally up to you. You shouldn't have to hire an advisor who's going to force you to invest with them or buy something from them. If that's the case, move on. They're not a financial planner. They're a salesman. So find someone who'll just charge you for their time. You can then implement the plan through them if you like them.
Right. Maybe you like what they're doing and they'll provide you with services for which they will likely charge you.
For additional, exactly. Correct. That's how we do it.
But have it be separate.
Exactly.
So that there's not...
full disclosure, mm-hmm. Transparency, yep. Unbundled,
exactly.
All that.
Yep.
You don't want to hire someone who's going to have to... You have to manage money with them or buy something from them. Just buy their time and advice. So that's my answer to number one. An annuity may be appropriate, but it would be more of a principal-protected annuity amongst other things, as Chris said. We're only saying annuities because you mentioned them. But you're looking more for a principal-protected annuity, listener, not a SPIA, not a DIA. Although I will say I'm intrigued for his case, Chris, with a QLAC, a Qualified Longevity Annuity contract, because that annuity will reduce his required minimum distributions, will defer the income, which seems to be what he wants to do, will provide market protection, so it can accomplish a lot of what he wants to do. Problem is, his money is in a 401k, and I highly doubt the 401k offers QLACs. He may not be able to move it to an IRA, but if he can, a QLAC might be appropriate for him, and we won't know for sure unless he does a plan. And that's the key. All right, his second thing is he wanted to know, can he move the $20,000 in his Roth 401k to his Roth IRA? In short, Chris, can he?
Yes.
If in service distributions are allowed.
Same restrictions we were talking about.
Yes.
You can't, any of these employer-sponsored plans have restrictions on them for movement outside the plan. When you separate from service, that, I can't, is there a case when that doesn't unlock the door?
No.
That always unlocks the door.
It's your money.
Correct. Yeah, it's your money. The only thing that might be in question is if there's employer money that's in there to which that hasn't been vested. So you might not have the right to take that money with you, but any of your money can always go with you. And if any monies that are vested can go with you, but the triggering event is you had to quit or be fired. You can't be working there anymore, and then you get to go. So the same restrictions are going to apply to this Roth version of the 401k because it's still an employer-sponsored plan, and it's kind of trapped within their system except for the
only time,
releasing event.
The only time that I know of where people have not been allowed to move their money is because the company gets into trouble, and a lot of the employees, including the employees who are responsible for the 401k, are fired. Mostly this is a case of companies going into bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
And there is literally no one there at the company to sign off. Every company has to sign off on the transfer or rollover mm-hmm. of that 401k. No one there to sign, 401k won't be moved. That custodian keeps the money right there until they get someone to authorize the movement. That has happened.
So there might be a delay there.
And it can be a long delay.
Yeah.
Long delay. Yeah. I've read articles. I've never personally met anyone who is subject to this. I only read articles of that or heard at conferences. Oh, I had a client whose colleague, whose brother's uncle's nephew, that happened to him. I mean, I have yet to have...
It's not common for this to happen, but...
But your company could go into bankruptcy and no one is there to actually sign the transfer paperwork or the rollover paperwork in this case, and the money sits in limbo until someone can do it. So outside of that, which is very, very, very rare, you can take your money.
Mm-hmm.
So he then asks, will I be able to eliminate RMDs by doing this? I'm not sure if this guy was brilliant here or just made a mistake. Roth IRAs never have required minimum distributions for the owner. A Roth beneficiary, you inherit a Roth IRA, there will be required minimum distributions. But as long as you own it, there are no required minimum distributions. But 401ks, Roth 401ks, Chris, we say this all the time.
They still have RMDs, even though they're the Roth version. That stayed, whether that was intentional by Congress or not, but that stuck. So this is a way to move money out of the 401k platform, in this case the Roth version, and get it into a Roth IRA, which then removes the RMD requirement.
So he's correct on that.
He is correct.
He aced that one.
Yep.
But then he asks, how would this change my existing Roth IRA? It wouldn't.
It
would get bigger. Yeah, it'd get bigger. Very good. So there's no change to it. There's no, if you intermingle Roth 401k with Roth IRA money, this rule applies or that goes away or this happens. No. If you're allowed to move it, you move it in, it will be a direct rollover. You'll go directly from your 401k to your Roth IRA. And as Chris said, the only change is it's now bigger because the money came from the Roth 401k to the Roth IRA. The big advantage, no required minimum distribution. Now, he probably will have to take an RMD the first year because the rule says in the year you turn 70 and a half, you must take a required minimum distribution. He's going to work to 70.
Yeah, for him specifically, it isn't there. This isn't a rule that the first year you take it out. No, it's because he has described a situation where he's going to be of RMD age before he can get it out to the Roth IRA.
Well, he may be. If he was born before June 30th, he will be 70 and a half in the same year he turns 70, so he will be subject to a required minimum distribution. Now, he would be subject also to the still working exemption. And the still working exemption says by December 31st of the year you retire. He happens to be retiring in the same year, the year he turns 70. So if he's going to turn 70 and a half that same year, he would have to take the Roth RMD first and then move it. Unless they he's got 10 years for them to clean up this ridiculous rule and abolish RMDs from Roth 401ks. So it is quite possible, listener, if you were born before June 30th and you retire in the year you turn 70, you will have to take an RMD. If you were born July 1st or after, you will not turn 70 and a half until the following year. So he could would not have to take the RMD the first time. You turn 70 and a half, not in the year you turn 70. You turn 70 and a half in the year you turn 71 if you were born July 1st or after. But if you were born January 1st to June 30th, you turn 70 and a half in the same year you turn 70.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge difference.
It is.
It's a huge difference. You got to understand that little nuance, mm-hmm. listener. That's where, listener, a good advisor who knows these little rules will be able to help you. And again, for all our iTunians and our local Coloradoans, please look for someone who you can hire them just for their advice, get their advice, and then if you like them and you want to work with them for other things. But a good planner who specializes in retirement, Chris, will know all these rules.
Correct.
I always ask people, what year were you born? Not the year, but what month were you born? And if it was between January and June, they take their RMDs in the same year they turn 70. Mm-hmm. If it's July to December, they take their RMDs in the same year they turn 70 and a half. 71. So they have one extra year. So that's a good thing for being born later in the year.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's number two. Number three is where we're going to get into these mortgages. That we can't mention, and we said in the first segment why. The only thing I want to point out to him, Chris, on this is he writes this. He wants to take out one of these mortgages only available to people over the age of 62. He wants to do it, Chris, at 70 when he retires. And he wants to do it in order to pay, as he said, and I didn't read this part earlier because we kind of got off track a little. He wants to use this mortgage, Chris, the proceeds of this mortgage, to, quote, pay my taxes, my house costs, my house expenses, condo fees, if he buys a condo, he may buy a condo, utilities, maintenance, etc. So I think he's saying he's going to use $300,000 of his cash to buy the place outright, then take out one of these mortgages only available to those over the age of 62, to then free up some of that money that's locked up in the equity in his home and use it to pay for the taxes, the maintenance, the upkeep of that property. So he writes, I would also, okay, then he writes, hopefully I will be able to do so at an interest rate much higher than today. That is why I want to talk about this. That is why I wanted to chance it with our compliance office. We didn't mention the mortgage by name, so they should have no problem with this. Can you please explain to him, Chris, when you are borrowing money, you don't want to do it at an interest rate higher than today.
Yeah, no matter what kind of mortgage you're taking out, one of these special mortgages only available to those people over the age of 62 or a more traditional mortgage, you are paying as the borrower, you are paying interest one way or the other, whether you're paying it in some sort of monthly payment or the interest is accruing into the balance of the loan, which can happen with certain types of mortgages.
This mortgage we're talking
specifically,
about.
Specifically. You're paying interest, and you don't. When you're the payer, you don't want high interest rates. You're going to be paying more in interest. It's an expense. You don't want that. You want low rates for borrowing. Now, you want high rates for earning. So when he was talking about the annuity before, things like that.
He would want high interest rates
higher for that. Rates for that. So, but here, lower rates. It isn't a situation where a high rate would benefit you. That's going to harm you.
I just bought a new car, as you know. And I bought it specifically because it was 0% financing. When they told me you won't pay any interest on this loan, I didn't demand, well, then deal's off. I want to pay 10% interest on this loan. When I got it at 0% interest, I was intrigued. And I signed on the bottom line. Mm-hmm. But that is the whole idea of borrowing money. You want it at the lowest interest rate as possible. When you are getting income, when you're trying to buy something that is going to pay you money, I wouldn't be able to, or I wouldn't buy as a retiree, gee, I'm going to buy this bond, Jim. The bank has promised me 0% interest on it. No, if you want income from it, you now want the 10%. But when you're paying it, listener, you want low interest rates. So I just wanted to point that out for him. He doesn't want high interest rates on one of these mortgages. He wants low interest rates. Because this mortgage isn't paying you any money. It's taking money from you. You don't have to pay any of the interest until you die. Now, remember, he has no wife, no kids. He's kind of like me. He doesn't have any of that. So he's probably under the impression, well, I don't care. I'm not looking to leave this house to anybody. So at his passing, that's when that debt would get paid off. But he still wants low interest rates because he doesn't want a lot of that debt to accrue, because the less debt he has at his death, the more money he has to give to charity or to nieces and nephews and siblings or parents and grandparents or his favorite financial advisor with podcast radio shows. Whoever he wants to leave that money to, there'd be more if interest rates were lower when you're paying a debt. So that was the big thing I wanted to point out on his third question. He wants low interest on a mortgage, not high interest.
Perfect. So that music means we're up to our final break, actually, in the Retirement and IRA show today. After this break, we are going to hear this week's number one song from 1982, which apparently, I don't remember this happening, but apparently it caused a stir in the UK because it relied on electric synthesizers and drum machines, which I felt by 1982 was not that shocking, but I'm just reading what's on the paper here.
England was in a tizzy fit?
It caused a stir in the UK because it relied on electric synthesizers and drum machines.
They got their britches in a tizzy? Isn't that how they say
Maybe.
It out
they
there?
They spilled their britches, tea? I'm not sure what
spilled
they're...
Spilled their tea? Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they call them britches. Britches in a tizzy or something like that. It's an English saying. Trust me.
I believe you.
All right.
Okay. Well, we'll hear what that song is after this short break on the Retirement and IRA show.
Are you interested in your own customized Social Security analysis? If so, visit us at helpwithmysocialsecurity.com and click the Contact Jim and Chris button. Jim and Chris offer a $75 Social Security optimization analysis that includes a one-hour consultation to discuss the specifics of your Social Security situation. This very affordable offer is for both singles and couples and will provide you with the information you need to make an informed decision about claiming your Social Security benefit.
Welcome back to the Retirement and IRA show. This is actually the same number one song been for the past couple of weeks. So we all recognize it as Don't You Want Me by British synth pop group The Human League. So here's the story. The band members thought guitars were archaic and wanted to write a song totally without traditional instruments. The music-related unions in the UK tried to ban synthesizers and drum machines after this song received so much attention. Their proposed ban was defeated.
And thus, unions wanted
long,
it?
Long live synthesizers and drum machines.
What did unions have against synthesizers and drum machines?
The musicians are usually
union
are
members.
Often unionized, and they get called out to record in, you know,
So the
recording
union,
sessions.
The
and
union's
they didn't like
answer
it.
Was, let's just kill technology.
Yes, we're going to ban this new instrument, in air quotes, right? Synthesizers and drum machines. So, music would be very different today if that ban had stuck.
True.
So I guess they were in a tizzy. Yeah. So why do we listen to all these crazy songs?
We do that to lead into this next... Hey, excuse me.
It's okay.
You done?
Yeah, go ahead.
We do this. I wish I had a deep baritone voice. There's some people, some guys have that deep baritone voice.
They do. They're usually on radio.
Yeah.
Unlike us. On radio, but not because of our voices.
No, certainly not. But we do this as a lead in to a segment we call What's New on Help with My Social Security. Because all of these songs, listeners, somehow, excuse me, tie into Social Security. The first song was from 1935, the year Social Security was created. The second song was from 40 years ago, the key being there, 40 years. When Social Security was first created, they used a calculation called 40 elapsed years. And then we ended just now with a song from 35 years ago, because today Social Security determines your benefit based on 35 computation years. So 1935, 40 years, and 35 years all tie into Social Security. And we use this as an opportunity to lead into our blog post, helpwithmysocialsecurity.com. And Chris, what is new this week on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com?
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new, pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
So this week I answer a question that came in that actually was a question that was prompted by a newsletter or blog, I think, that Justin had written. We have several blogs here. I mostly handle the Social Security blog that we have, but Justin had written some information about child in care spousal benefits for Social Security. I'm a little concerned. I feel like he's kind of stepping on my toes.
He is.
He's writing some things about Social Security, but be that as it may, his article didn't appear on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, which is what we're talking about today. So a question came in with a listener or a reader of his blog that thought that some of that information applied to him. And based on what Justin had written, things were still a little bit confusing because Justin actually didn't tell the entire story. Some of this stuff, as those of you been following, things in retirement planning and Social Security for sure, the basics seem pretty straightforward, but then there's ultimately can be dozens or hundreds, sometimes exceptions or nuances to how all this stuff fits together. And this is one of them. So child in care spousal benefits refer to those benefits that a spouse of a Social Security entitled recipient, so someone who's receiving Social Security, their spouse can be entitled to a spousal benefit. But the rules are a little different when that spouse is taking care of the child of what's called the number holder, the person who's actually claimed the Social Security and earned the Social Security benefit. The spouse doesn't have to have their own benefit to get a spousal benefit. And the rules are special when there's a child in play. This doesn't happen a whole lot because, of course, someone would have to be over 62 and have a child under the age of 16 for this to happen. So there's not too many people that fall into that category, but more and more, especially when you have a marriage where there's a much older, usually male, right, traditionally, but a much older male and then a younger spouse, and they have had a child later in that male's lifetime. And so you've got that situation. And so that spouse gets special treatment when they're taking care of the young child of this worker who has now claimed Social Security benefits. Well, this person, and I'm not going to go through the entire thing here, but just to tease it nicely for you, this person who wrote in had this exact thing happen. But there is a special case for the child in care. It isn't always children under the age of 16. That's the main description. But also if there's a child who was disabled prior to the age of 18. Actually, the child disability benefits had to had to begin before age 22. But this person, I think they had been disabled since 18, so they fell into that category where they are considered in this child in care category as long as they're alive, actually. So the special rule is we all probably realize that when you claim your Social Security before your full retirement age, it's reduced. When there's a child in care to be applied, that reduction is eliminated. You get the full spousal benefit even if you claim before your full retirement age. But the unique twist here on this story, she had her own benefit as well as being entitled to the child in care spousal benefit, and that caused the calculation for the reduction to be a little bit crazy. So I walked through that. It was a great question. It's not going to apply to a whole lot of people, but it does open the door and reveals how some of the inner workings of Social Security calculations occur.
Clear as mud.
That was a long description.
That was a long description. Well, it's a very complicated
topic. As I started
topic.
Going down, every time I said something, I'm thinking, oh, well, now I got to explain that. And then Social Security's like that, though.
Well, it was the same reason I warned our listeners you were going to take the entire show to answer this email question.
Just go on and on
and on and on and on and on, because I knew you were going to do that. And it's lived up to
that.
So
this post is, by the time you hear this, it's up on helpwithmysocialsecurity.com, so you can hear all the gory details with numbers involved. If you go to helpwithmysocialsecurity.com.
What's new, pussycat?
Okay. Well, the final thing I want to give this gentleman on our email question is he asked at the end, he probably, again, as a new listener, didn't know he was asking questions about a mortgage that we're not allowed to name or essentially delve into on this show. That's why we call them special mortgages, only available to those over the age of 62. If you are interested in these mortgages, do not go to a mortgage lender and say, I'm interested in the special mortgages only available to those over the age of 62. They'll probably know what you're saying, but they'll also look at you a little crazy. So everybody probably knows their names. He asked, do you cover this area or care to suggest a good info source? And that's what I want to suggest to him. We don't cover this area. We don't offer these mortgages. I have no intention of ever offering these mortgages.
Well, we cover it in that if you talk to us directly, we can openly talk to you about this.
Absolutely. So if you schedule a coffee and a second opinion, and that's for iTunians. We do that as a phone call, obviously, although you are welcome to come to Colorado. And we've had people from Texas, as a matter of fact, where he's from, come up from Texas. They're going to visit Colorado. They come into the office and meet with us. Mm-hmm. We've had people from South Dakota come down the opposite direction, come down and meet with us. So we do have iTunians coming out and meeting with us. That's not a requirement. Most will counsel with us over the phone. If you counsel with us over the phone, I have more freedom to talk about these special mortgages. But I also want to give him and all our listeners the heads up about Wade Fowle. And Wade is, again, he has a PhD, he has a CFA designation, Chartered Financial Analyst. He is a professor of financial planning at the College for Financial Planning. The American College. Yeah, he's at the American College, I apologize. But he's a very, very well-respected researcher. He recently came out with a book on this very topic. And I purchased the book for myself, and I have not read it yet, but I also gave a copy to Justin, and Justin actually did start reading it, and he said the first chapter, Chris, truly captures the essence of what we do and what we believe as a firm on the importance of a sound retirement plan and an income floor. Remember how we talk about our minimum dignity floor and secure income. And Justin was rather impressed that Wade, and we've had no communication with Professor Fowle. We don't know him personally, although I have listened to him speak many, many times, that he just kind of lays the foundation, Chris, of what a sound, in his opinion, a sound retirement plan should look like. I want to encourage people to get his book on those mortgages. So what you simply do for this listener, because he needs advice here, Chris. So Professor Fowle's book is available on Amazon or other places, I'm sure. I just want to give him the spelling of Fow's name. His first name is Wade, W-A-D-E. His last name is Fow, P-F-A-U. That's P-F-A-U. You all set on that? Yeah. Are you looking up his book?
No, I was looking to see what, if you just Google Wade Fow Mortgage,
it pops up.
It doesn't take much. Yeah. To
I got it on it my is. Kindle. According to Kindle, I just opened it on the Kindle. According to my Kindle, the average reading time is 3 hours and 3 minutes. So it's not a very deep book because he covers one topic, those mortgages. But he talks about how to use them, how they work, where to consider them, where not to consider them. And again, his first chapter, and I haven't read it yet, but Justin recently did, and he told me it truly captures a lot of what we believe as a firm and what we espouse on this show. So I'm anxious at least just to read the first chapter. So any listener who's interested in these special mortgages available to those over the age of 62, you may want to start with a very knowledgeable source and book. And this is an impartial book. Wade has no hoe to row. He has
you caught
no,
yourself that time.
I did. Nice. He has no road to hoe on this. This he's just wrote this book on his own. Mm-hmm. And you may want to check it out. So that's what I would recommend for him. I don't have any person to refer him to. I have a book that he may want to look at. So hopefully that answered all of this listener's questions. If we have any other listeners out there, any iTunians, any local Coloradoans, you can just come into our office for our coffee and second opinion. And during these periods, these one-hour length meetings, we chat. I hear about what you're looking for. What are your concerns? What are you hoping to accomplish? And I tell you if we can help you or if I think you should look somewhere else for the help and where you should go. So that's what the Coffee and a Second Opinion is for. If we have any iTunians who would be interested in that, we counsel with people throughout the United States. Just get a hold of us right at our website. Our website is jimhelps.com. That's jimhelps.com. And if you click on the Meet the Team button or the Contact Us button right there on the homepage, you can schedule your very own. In fact, no, not only can you do that, I believe we have up and running already a schedule a meeting button. And you can click that button and schedule a meeting. And right now, you only have two times, 9:30 in the morning or 1:30 in the afternoon Mountain Time.
Those are fabulous times, though.
Fabulous time zones, time slots. However, we are working to improve that ability. The problem is we couldn't get the online calendar to sync with our office calendar because we use a calendar from a company called Redtail. We were just on the phone again today. You have been working on this for a while. I recently met a techie guy who is going to come in, and you've counseled with him, and we counseled with Redtail, and there is a way to do this. We have to download one program that will talk to Redtail. So it's going to take the information from that calendar. It's going to put it in
This is fascinating radio.
It's going to put it in Microsoft Outlook, and then from there it's going to put it into our online scheduler. And it's this really bizarre way to get two programs to talk to each other. Once we get that done, the good news is, listeners, you can pick other dates besides 9:30 Mountain Time in the morning or 1:30 Mountain Time in the afternoon. It's a very limited choice right now. But anybody wants to counsel with us or get an opinion on something, don't hesitate to reach out to us. If you have any questions, feel free to send them to us, especially if you live in Maine, Delaware, or
New Hampshire.
Because Chris is trying to fill the northeastern seaboard and get his little map filled. So if you have any questions, you can see we try to go to great length to answer our questions. It's not cursory little minor, oh, here, blah, 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 questions. And we're certainly not trying to sell you anything. We never do that. We try to teach people here. Okay. And the reason I got into that, Chris, is I didn't think we had enough time to get into Brokers Gone Bad or whatever it is we're talking about. We have 8 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got to do the Italian meat one.
Okay.
The one I told you about?
Sure.
Let me find it.
It was a nice, I'm not sure the full scope of this, but Jim it was teased hilarious. Me too by telling me there was something related to deli meats.
Deli meats.
So I can't wait to hear
Hold on. I have a feeling I'm going to.
So before we, before we start this and before I play the theme song for this segment on the radio show, we'll discuss, we call them, bad brokers in the headlines, something like
yes.
that, where someone in the financial services industry has done something to take advantage of others through deceit or through lack of expertise, or there's all kinds of things you could describe, but somehow the public has been harmed by someone in the financial services industry, and we think it's a good way to help people protect themselves by describing these things so you can be on the lookout for this situation happening and protect yourself. So we've got a new theme song for this. It used to be the Bad Boys theme, but we've actually got this cute little clip from the old Underdog cartoon. So if you listen real carefully, it actually applies very well to this segment.
When in this world the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed, goes Underdog,
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 Underdog.
So deli
meats. I like that song.
Yeah, it's nice. I wish we could find it. I mean, it's a really old song. That's the best version of that I've been able to find. I wish we could find a cleaner copy. But
the reason, and we'll talk about this one. This is just, it just made me laugh. Mm-hmm. This is from the New York Post, and it came across my desk this morning. It's from July 6th, so it's actually from last week. What we had here is they call them a stockbroker. Nobody uses that term anymore. The technical term is a registered representative, but more likely than not, this guy called himself a financial planner. And apparently he caught the ire, or a law firm caught his ire, because a New York law firm posted on their website that this particular stockbroker, this particular registered representative, this particular guy who probably calls himself a financial planner, had a disclosure event that was public record in what is called his broker check file. So they published that on...
So the law firm, not only was it public information through FINRA's broker check system, which right. you can go look up, any types of events that impact a person's licensing in the realm of being a registered representative to sell securities. But this law firm took it upon themselves to post it on their own website as well. So that's what you're describing?
Correct.
Okay.
So they posted it on their website.
So they kind of called him out as
called
having
him
an
out.
Issue.
Called mm-hmm. him out on it.
Yep.
And he got mad. Mm. So he started posting erroneous negative reviews about that law firm.
Oh, so he was retaliating.
On various websites using an alias.
So had the law firm lied or exaggerated?
No.
They just simply disclosed what was public information anyway.
They did. And what the reason I want to mention this is it's about broker check. It's not the aliases. Aliases? what's the plural of aliases?
Probably aliases.
Aliases? Okay, so it's not the fact that he used multiple aliases. It's the names he used that were just funny and cute. I even though this guy's in serious trouble, he was cute with some of his names, and we'll get into that. The thing that I want to tell our listeners about is how this law firm came across this information. It's public record. So that's what I want to talk about first. Whenever you hire someone, folks, our industry is very convoluted. You're either registered and regulated at the state level as a registered investment advisor or investment advisor representative, one of the two, at the state level, the federal SEC level, or if you are a broker, you are registered through Financial Industry Regulatory Authority through their broker check public record system, and they will fully disclose to you if the person you are working with has ever had a complaint filed against them or a judgment made. It's a wonderful way to research your broker or advisor. So you simply go to, just Google broker check, broker check. Just Google that and it'll pop up. And so that's what this law firm did. So this broker starts posting these erroneous and false negative reviews using deli meat aliases.
Goodness gracious.
So one of his aliases was Sal Lami. S-A-L-L-A-M-I. So Sal Lami posted something very negative about this law firm. He has others. Do you want to hear his others?
Sure.
This one is not a deli meat, but it's kind of funny. Al Koholic. So that was another one.
Not Bendover or any of those folks?
Nope, Bendover was not in here. Pepe Roni.
Pepe Roni, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. What did he do, though? What was in his broker check?
I haven't looked them up
yet. Oh, so you were just fascinated by
I was fascinated by the
name.
I actually, because they give his real name. In our next show, we'll tell you what this, because we're running out of time. Mm-hmm. We'll tell you in our next show. How about this one, Chris? He posted some more negative reviews under the aliases, under the alias Cole Cuts. C-O-L-E. K-U-T-Z.
Cole Cuts.
So yeah. Cole Cuts, Pepe Roni, and Sal Lami all posted negative reviews of this New York law firm.
And somehow they tracked down who he was.
I'm guessing this law firm has a lot of Italians, and he was posting fun of them. I don't know.
Who knows?
But next week, when we have more time, we'll actually walk people through broker check, how it works, and what this man had in his broker
check. We can look it
up
and say what he did.
It's public record. It's right out there.
Upset about.
Yeah.
And then hopefully he won't go to our website and start posting
negative reviews on us.
If we know it's deli meat names, we know we've got him. Well, thanks everybody for joining us here on the Retirement and IRA Show. We're at the end of another episode. Don't forget, you can reach out to us at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. All kinds of ways to get a hold of us on there. We're more than happy to answer your questions. We'll look forward to being with you again next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.